you go in there and you're super negative, if you go in there and you're telling them that the world's coming to an end, you're not going to get the business.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. This week, we welcome back one of our biggest listened to guests in the last 12 months, Josh Teslin. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Elite Agent. You know what it is. Very happy to be here.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. That's your new hashtag, you know what it is. What is it?
You know what it is. The process, the energy, what I bring to the table, something different, a little bit left of field, but definitely gets results. So a little catchphrase that me and the office have a bit of a laugh on, but
it's that little something, something, isn't it?
It's a little something, something. Everyone's got to have a hashtag and a little catchphrase. So we got that for myself. So I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And since you were here last, you've been crowned Agent of the Year.
Yeah, crazy time. Didn't expect it. Had a big year, 113 sales, which was awesome. Wrote over 2 million in GCI with one assistant. Yeah, took out Sydney, New South Wales, my core suburb, Quakers Hill, Acacia Gardens, and Australia. So I think Rate My Agent, fantastic platform. A lot of people use it. Some don't and are adverse to it. I don't know how you could be adverse to that. I think getting customer reviews, everyone can sell a property. Let's be honest. In a good market, you open the door and the house sells. However, when you get a happy customer in a tough market like COVID and you can show people and say, look, I sold this property in a tough time. This was the vendor's experience. This is how much, you know, they had to say about the campaign. They were over the moon. That's the leverage on success. And leverage is a massive thing. And Rate My Agent's just a platform you can use. And I think it's unreal. Everyone should be on it.
Yeah. How did you celebrate?
How did I celebrate? Oh, look, we went out afterwards.
Big night.
Big night. Big night. A few bars and clubs, me and the team and some of the Rate My Agent boys, which was good. Got home at about 3-4 o'clock. I put up a photo. I think my girlfriend took it of when I was in bed with the trophy at like 4 a.m. and I said good night. So, good night. You got to celebrate the wins, especially when you work 90% of the time to have the 10%. So, great night. Would love to be back there again. That's the goal for 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, fresh off celebrating, it seemed like everything just went nuts after that.
Literally. A week later, we were in lockdown, essentially. So I said, if we don't get out of lockdown, at least I was the last winner. So, you know, I would have taken that. Yeah, crazy times. Went into lockdown. We've never really been into such a period of life where you can't essentially go out of the door sometimes, can't touch people, shake people's hands, hygiene. You know, it's always been a high standard of ours, but it's just even been more scrutinized, which was a little bit crazy. But way of the world, how you adapt is how you get through.
How did you adapt through the crazy time? A big part of your charm is your energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like face-to-face, that comes across in spades. Yeah. So how did you adapt when it was like all video and FaceTime and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, look, for me, my best skills, as you said, are face-to-face. Seeing body language, tone of voice, movement, that's all where I pick up on and get a lot of business. Being taken away from that, we just had to do it through a whole different channel. Now, for us, I've always done the Facebook Live videos. I've been big in the social space where I get a lot of traction and a lot of business. I think for me, we did the stuff like the Zoom calls, the Microsoft Teams and all that to do a couple of appraisals, but it was really just doubling down on the social space. I think that we put more money into boosts, as in reaching more people, and we were just doing more frequent videos, what's happening in the market. It's just like the news. Whenever the Prime Minister would go on, I think we're all in the same boat. Oh, you know, Scott Morrison's on, let's watch, you know, 9 or 7. And we were glued to the TV just to see what was happening. Exactly the same with real estate. And I felt to myself, pre-election last year, it sort of took me back to then, not with the lockdown stuff, but there was a lot of attention on real estate agents. Who's doing what? Who's doing the numbers? I'm going to look to sell my property once this is over. Who are we going to go with? And I suppose a lot of my success for 2019 that I had was because of the earlier months pre-election. People saw I was getting results. People saw I was marketing hard. I was different. I was leveraging. I was showing people it can be done and you can still get a good result through different methods of prospecting, different methods of selling. A lot of people saw that. So since COVID has sort of started easing the restriction, I've been getting called into a lot more appraisals. Probably I'd say I usually list between probably about 20, 25 per month. Last month listed probably half that, about 13, which still for any agent is good. And we were happy with 13. However, we are seeing it pick up a little bit now. So they're all saying, Josh, you sold my, you know, friend's house, mother's house. And I suppose leveraging that on socials was massive for me.
Well, that's what we've been talking to our transformers this year about, is taking back the narrative. Like, don't complain about what the media is going on out there. You've got to get out and be the media or be the reporter.
Absolutely. I believe that everyone needs to buy and sell in all markets. We've got death, divorce, upsize, downsize. It's a great time to buy an investment, potentially use super with mortgages on hold. At the moment, there's not a lot of stock on it. It's a great time to capitalize. It's how you spin the sales pitch to people. If you go in there and you're super negative, if you go in there and you're telling them that the world's coming to an end, you're not going to get the business. Like, I've had an experience recently where we needed to sell a property for essentially a family member. You go in negative, you've lost straight away. You go in with a bit of energy and you're positive and have a plan, you'll get the business. So I think that's crucial in all markets.
Yeah, so let's unpack that for a second, because we were talking about that off air. So your girlfriend's mum
is
selling her house.
Correct.
So you've stepped in to help almost to interview agents.
Yes.
Like, you are Mr. Vendor. You've interviewed seven agents or
seven.
So.
Yep.
So what were your thoughts, like, given, you know, you're very experienced at this?
Yeah. A shoe was on the other foot, which was certainly I wasn't used to. It wasn't a bad thing. I enjoy it at the best of times, meeting new people and seeing what they've got to offer and stuff. But I've only really worked at one office for 6 years. So for me, I never really got to see other sales agents, how they pitch, you know, what angle they're coming from, what methods they've got to get the best result. So yeah, getting seven out, we had a mixed bag. We had some negative. We had some really low on price. We had some that I knew personally, which was tough. I had to remove myself from that and look at the business side. There were some interesting characters. I was probably disappointed with the lack of preparation, I suppose. Follow-up was good from some and post-follow-up, but preparation, having a clear plan, sitting down and saying, you know, this is what you've got to do. This is plan A, plan B. If it doesn't sell at auction, this is, you know, plan C after the campaign. Yeah, I think that lacked from a lot of them. Energy from some of them was great. Some of them were negative. Some of them we sat down and they pointed out the flaws of the unit essentially first, which wasn't fantastic for a vendor to hear, I suppose. You know, yeah, it's just like, you know, you have a newborn baby, you want to be told it's a beautiful baby, not that it's ugly. So
absolutely.
In an example form, yeah, all the agents had different pitches. It's different for me, maybe a different area, but I think I go in and I explain my team. I ask a lot of questions to the vendor. One agent came out yesterday and said, so what do you want to know? And I was more just like, shit, what are you going to tell me? Like, well, what's your plan? What, you're here, you've got, you know, your hour in the sun, sell yourself. So yeah, the agent that got it was super energetic. At the end, they had a good process, top level marketing. We just felt they were a little bit of a cut above the rest. So that's why, yeah, they got the business. But it was definitely interesting to put the shoe on the other foot.
Like, it's interesting. And a few things are running through my mind when you said that, because obviously people know you in the industry.
I was there, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's possible, like, when you walk into a listing presentation and you think you know the person, then you might just kind of let a few things slide.
I felt maybe they were a bit too comfortable with me, maybe knowing me on the social space, and thought they could maybe, as you said, let a few things slide, which, as I said, everyone's got their own appraisal, and I thanked them all for coming, which was great, and they were all nice. But at the end of the day, I just felt lack of process was a big factor in the ones who didn't get it. Post and pre-follow-up, some were good, some weren't. We had one guy come in with no pack or anything altogether, like no listing presentation. I don't even think a pen. And we were ready to give the keys to someone that day. So
You're big on the pen. I remember that.
Big on the pen. Yeah. Big on the pen. You know, we had the whole place styled, contract on the desk, keys ready to give. So yeah, that was a bit strange. But at the end of the day, we'll see how the campaign goes. They've got, I suppose, me to talk them through the campaign and see what they can do. So I'm interested to see.
What will you be looking for in the campaign?
Transparency. What happens if it goes wrong? I think that COVID hit out of nowhere and I adjusted straight away with my vendors. This is what we've got to do. This is how we've got to market. More marketing to be seen by more people, a lot more in the social space. So I think that's going to be crucial. If it doesn't sell, it's going to auction. If it doesn't sell at auction, that's going to be interesting. What I'm looking for is communication. I think you've got to have good communication every day. What's happening? How many views are we getting? How's it tracking compared to others? What sales are happening in the area? How are we going to stand out from the crowd. I think that's crucial. Negotiation, when a low offer comes in, and look, everyone's looking for the COVID discount these days. So as soon as that happens, how are they going to counter it? How are they going to deal with it? I think it's going to be, very interesting. So I'm sitting back and watching.
I hope for their sake they're prepared.
I hope for their sake they are.
Speaking of which, like being prepared, like what we love you for is your market updates. That's one thing. And I was watching one on the weekend and again, marvelling at your memory for numbers.
Big on stats.
Yeah, like you are the rain man of real estate.
Thank you.
How do you prepare for your market updates? Does this stuff just come to you, or do you like...
Yeah, so how I prepare, I usually sit down and I like to break it up into a couple of categories. So what's happened on the day? Being Saturday, you know, it's in the heat. Open homes have just happened. There's buzz, there's excitement. People want to know. That's the first crucial element that I do. The next one is what happened during the week. How many I put under contract, what I've sold, what's gone unconditional. Always like to share a little bit of a case study. People like to feel, you know, that happened to them. They were two streets away. How was their experience? What price did they get? How many people? And numbers are crucial. Then I go through a little bit of a Facebook exclusive, what's coming to the market. So I've usually got around four or five a week that are looking at launching. I'll let people know this is launching Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Message me and I can send you guys a contract or some photos, and then a little bit of a wrap up of what I think the market's doing. So yeah, I think numbers are crucial. You've got to know your numbers. How many are coming on the market? How many buyers you had through a property? Let's say you had 15 private inspections. 14 people have missed out. And I think if people are watching the video who have something similar, they can say, shit, you know, Josh has had 14 people miss out. That sold for 980K. Ours is just down the road. If we got a similar result, we'd be stoked. And I think remembering people's names goes a long way too. That just familiarizes it. Like I sold a police officer in Quakers Hill, his place. Everyone knew him. And I got about four phone calls. Oh, you sold his house. You sold his house. And it was just traction. And all of a sudden, two of them are looking at selling in the next 2 months. So there's the future business. So remembering names is crucial. I usually scribble down a few little things. If I forget anything, I'll often look down and think, oh, yeah, didn't mention that. And I'll give that a little bit of a buzz as well. But yeah, preparation, if you fail to prepare, prepare to fail. But usually I'm obsessed with it. Like I bought a place 5 minutes from work to work more this year. So it's easy for me.
Like you can tell that numbers come naturally to you because they don't come to a lot of people. I listened, before we got together again, I listened back to your last podcast actually.
Yep.
And I was just shaking my head at how you remember numbers and addresses and all that sort of thing. And I think that's the key to success, right? You've really got to be on top of...
On top of your game, sharp. As soon as they ask you a question, know straight away the statistic. And I think that's crucial with vendors, especially during COVID. If a sale happens three streets away and the vendor says, well, you know, we want to price ours like this, what did that sell for? You've got to know the stock. Now, I'm lucky in my, not lucky, but I've worked hard for it. In my area, I've got a market share over 50%. So the positive to that is that all the sales essentially are mine, but I do keep on top of what all the competitors are doing, what they're selling, what's on the market, how many days on market is crucial. And when you deliver an offer to a client and they're saying, look, you know, we feel we've been on the market for 2 weeks, it's not how long you've been on the market. It's how long the buyer's been in the market. And showing them that this buyer's been in the market for 6 months, they've seen X, Y, and Z, you know, four properties over the last couple of weeks. They're pre-approved. They're ready to go. Compared to the one across the road that's been on for 90 days, hasn't sold. They've come down in price 10%. We're getting a premium in this market. And I would advise them to move ahead. So, it's crucial knowing numbers, knowing statistics, and knowing the area well.
Yeah, absolutely. With your videos, once you've done the video, we have noticed along with a bunch of other publishers around the world, including Facebook and people like that, that traffic has been up and advertising costs are down because there's more traffic. And
correct.
Yeah. I mean, even Google, the price of Google traffic's down at the moment too because Amazon have pulled all of their advertising.
Yep.
So when you boost one of these posts, what sort of budget do you put behind it and who do you boost it to?
Yep. So minimum, I put $500 and that's for a 7 day boost. So every single week, they're getting a consistent weekly live update video on a Saturday night.
So everyone's seeing you at least.
Everybody. I think when they see you, you become more familiar. Now, if I always say, I said it last time on the podcast as well, if they're not seeing me on Facebook, as in a video, if they're not seeing my just listed flyers everywhere, my sold flyers, if they're not seeing me on all the billboards, as in solds, all over, you know, my area, if they're driving around, if they're not seeing me on real estate domain, if I'm not popping up on Google, because I do a lot of ad searches through Google, if I'm not doing the colouring in competition for the school, or I'm not, you know, at the soccer fields on a Saturday or a Sunday, they're under a rock not to give me a call. It's saturation marketing. If you saturate your market, you're going to get business from all places that you prospect. So in terms of who I boost it to, I boost it through an age bracket of 24 to 65 plus. There's no use, I suppose, for myself and my business, what I've seen, boosting it to 15, 16 year olds. They don't own a dwelling. They're less likely to tell mum or dad. So 24 to 65 plus, yep. We put in there algorithms as well. So categories, real estate, looking at buying, looking at selling, all the cookies, whoever, if you look at realestate.com, most likely, if you go to Facebook, Josh is going to come up again, and then it becomes familiar. And then all of a sudden, they want to sell. They think, wow, Josh is just everywhere. We're going to give him a call. I boost it for 7 days. I boost it within 10 kilometers. So 10 kilometers of Quaker Sell, like an Uber pin, it drops all the way around, and everyone's getting my videos.
And everyone's seeing
videos.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. So a lot of people are saying that because of COVID, buyers are back right now. Mm-hmm. And we've seen evidence of it with, you know, even on low volumes, auction clearance rates are going up and so on and so forth. If there's a lot of buyers in your market but not a lot of stock,
yep.
How do you address that problem in your own business?
Well, look, you've got to prospect harder. I feel that everyone's had a bit of a listing, not a slump, but there has been an effect on everybody's listings. People who are a bit scared, people who want to hold off until springtime or later in the year. I just think it's upfront advice. As soon as you get into the appraisal and they ask, is it a good time to sell? Ask them, what's your situation? Like, I had a call from a lady yesterday and she said to me, Josh, you know, I'm hoping for over 900 for my house. Realistically, comparable sales are around the 850 mark. She might get into the high eights. And I was upfront with her with that. Mm. And I said, are you buying in the same market? She goes, oh, absolutely. I'm buying in a market that's 1.3 million. And I said, okay, if your price was less, let's say by $40,000, 5%. If you look at the other side, $40,000 or 5% on a $1.3 million house, you're better off to sell now. Even if you're selling for less, you're buying for less. You never sell at the top and buy at the bottom. It doesn't work that way. You sell at the top, you buy at the top. You sell at the bottom, you buy at the bottom. And I think really unpacking and getting the Christmas gift and taking the wrapping off and really getting to the core of what they want to do is crucial. Prospect more. I think now you've got more time if you're not handling that many listings, if you're not doing as many inspections as you were and you're just back at open homes. Because during COVID, me and my associate Alex Young, 21-year-old, hungry, in the game, we were doing 40 to 50 private inspections on a Saturday. Like, we were doing from 8:30 till 7 o'clock at night, all pre-qualified buyers, showing them one after the other. And that's what got us. Like, if we would do 40 or 50, we would be happy to sell 3 or 4 on the Saturday. Whereas a good day, I'd sell about 6 or 7 or 8 in a good market. So for us, the numbers halved, but we still got the results. But yeah, I think prospecting is still a big thing. If you can't physically door knock due to distancing these days, a lot of social media, a lot of video. I put up a photo yesterday on my socials. I put out 40,000 letterbox drops. People are still going out to, you know, go to the shopping center once a day, check the mail, put the bins out. If you can target them from those aspects, if they're driving around, you've got a signboard on the main road, you're going to be seen by people. So it's sort of the prospecting without prospecting. Get the drops out, get the socials out there, put video, brand yourself harder. Even if you have to invest a little bit more during this time, think of it like this. You invest maybe an extra 10 or 20% of your wages or your comm that you're making. That's going to come back in 6 months' time. Because if you even get one more lead than before, that one lead is going to transfer to 3 or 4 in 4 or 5 months. So if you have a mindset of the long game, if you have a mindset of, I'm going to reap these rewards in the future, instead of just looking at the short and thinking, wow, you know, I'm going to save on marketing. I'm going to try and cut back my expenses. If you do less, you're going to get less in future. So if you can rework that little brain mechanism, that's going to go a long way for future.
Yeah, I think the takeaway there is marketing is an investment, not a cost.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people look at that. And I've met some of the top agencies and who are friends of mine, and they say to me, look, you know, we don't spend any marketing whatsoever. And I look at that and think to myself, it's all well and good. You're riding off the back of years of success. But if you want to do more numbers, if you want to grow your business even further, you've got to reinvest in yourself. Like, as I said, branding, socials are massive. So yeah, you've got to do that to be successful. And it's not the ultimate pillar to success, but if you want to get an extra 10 or 20% and leverage and milk it for all it's worth, it's going to come out of your own pocket.
You're playing a game of ones, right?
Yes.
Like, even when you just said you might spend $500 on a Facebook boost, yeah, but one listing from that is, yep, going to invest that.
I had a message just last night from someone. He said to me, hey, Josh, saw your weekly wrap-up video, mate, looking at selling an investment property. Can you sell it? Now, it's a little bit out of my target area. However, he said, mate, you've sold four of my friend's house. I run a gym. They all rave about you every single session. He goes, mate, can you sell it? And I said, absolutely. If we market right, we price right. And he goes, mate, I'm realistic. I want to come on ASAP, whatever you recommend. You're the agent. Let's go. So I think targeting him, like I was just coming up in his feeds. Also, people in his gym were talking about me. If he drove around the area, he'd see me. It's very hard to escape it. But if you don't do those things, like you don't put your finger just in one pie. You got to put your finger in a lot of pies. I'm doing socials. I'm doing video. I'm doing letterbox drops. I'm doing print. I'm doing, you know, everything, community initiatives, that goes a long way.
I'm just trying to distill the takeaways here. So one takeaway is don't just have one lead source.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And secondly is just keep being consistent with all of it.
Keep being consistent. A lot of people stop doing video. A lot of people cut back on property videos. A lot of people cut back on letterbox drops. The easiest way to just cut back is think, oh, you know, that cost me $1,500 a month. I'm going to save $1,500. You know, I'm going to save this. I'm going to save this. Look, if you've got the budget there and you're still making sales, in your mind, realize that you're going to take a little bit of a 10% pay cut and think to yourself, I'm going to have to reinvest this to keep relevant. If you don't keep relevant, you're going to drown.
Like as you're talking, I'm thinking things really haven't changed for you. Like a lot of people sort of backed off and thought, oh, I don't know what to say or I don't know what to do, or there was panic posting. We're still open.
Yes.
We're still here.
We're still here. We're still open.
And then there was just radio silence.
There was a lot of radio silence. A lot of agents and friends that I've got in the industry and people that I've met said, look, we held back our listings. I looked at the opposite and I thought to myself, now's a great time. If there's not much stock on, you can market hard. You can stand out from the crowd. Because when the market's good, all the agencies out there that spend less on marketing, standard ads, feature ads, they try and save $1,000 on marketing. If we go in and we market hard, we'd be seen by more people. We're going to get more urgency. Only the serious buyers during COVID are going to look. No one's going to look if they've lost their job, unfortunately. No one's going to look if they don't have a pre-approval. It's a waste of everyone's time doing a private inspection, organizing the owners to give you the keys and clean it. Like, what a hassle. So in terms of ourselves, we pre-qualified every buyer and every person that came through. We said, look, you're getting a one-on-one inspection. You're seeing the house. You're not in competition with 50 others like you were maybe 3 or 4 months ago in January. Let's do a deal. What's your offer? And complete transparency. And that's what was working for us, getting people in. I put more listings on probably in, I'd say, April and May during this whole COVID than I did probably the month before. Like, yeah. I look at my numbers this month. I sold 13 in January, unconditional. I sold 21 in February. I sold 8 in March. So as soon as COVID hit, we had a little bit of a hit. So I sold 8, which for me is a poor month. The next month during COVID, April, I sold 18. This month in May, I've sold 18 unconditional. Next month, I've already got 4 cooling off. So 82 in total in 5 months. I look at it and think, now's the time. Double down. Get the listings on, get them sold, leverage to the next one.
The other thing too is, interestingly, when you walked out last time, I think I was having a bit of a flat day that day for some reason, and you walked out and I thought, oh, God, he's got so much energy. Like, you know, it was infectious. Yeah. And I had actually wondered how that would be after we've just gone through this weird COVID period, but you haven't lost any of your spark.
No,
which is amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think that sales is the transfer of energy. So if you sit in front of someone and you say negative things and you're down, it's how you spin it. Like you could say, you know, I've got a battle axe, and some people could look at it and think, oh, it's behind others. It's not so sought after. I would look at it and think it's safe, private, secure, set back from the street, neighbors aren't on top of you. It's how you spin things. So in terms of this market, you can get down. If you're down, you have a bad day, you have a bad week, you have a bad month, the next month is going to be even worse. I think to myself, energy level, I've got to show people optimism. I've got to be honest with people, which I am. I don't dance around the truth. I tell them this is what's going on, but this is what we're going to do to combat it. I've always got a plan. If you don't have a plan, what are vendors paying you for? You're essentially just a friend to them. They're paying you as a sales agent to get the job done in all circumstances. So for me, it's sort of taken me to another level, COVID. I always thought to myself, when the tide comes out, you get to see who was swimming naked, essentially. I looked at April as soon as we went into lockdown. ones at the end of March, I thought to myself, if I can do bigger numbers now, people will see it and they can see it can be done, especially April as well. Again, I did another 18 sales in April. Like in a good market, that's fantastic. You know, in a very adjusting market, that sort of feels like it's 20, 30 sales. So the work that we put in now is coming through. We've always worked hard. I think a key for me was moving closer to work. I was traveling an hour every single day, an hour home. I'd eat dinner at 11:30 at night. Whereas now I'm coming home straight away, 5 minutes. I can show houses easily on a Sunday. I'm doing more hours. I'm probably working 15, 16 hours a day, and that's coming off. So for me, I'm a workaholic at the easiest of times, but I love what I do. And I think now if you work hard for a vendor, the results will come. You can show the house over and over and over and over. The result will come. So I feel that, consistency is a big thing, loving what you do. And during COVID, if you can get good results now, imagine what you can do when the market's good.
Yeah. How are you going to keep your energy up? Because, you know, like I had a conversation with another well-known real estate agent on this podcast who didn't want to wear headphones, by the way.
Didn't want to mess his hair up.
Yeah.
He's got no hair.
Something like that. I'm not getting into that. But I was complimenting you on your energy, as always.
Yep.
And so the question was, how are you going to keep it up in 2 or 3 years? Like, we've just been through the worst period ever.
Yeah. I think a lot of people look at my success and sort of feel it was overnight, but not many people remember. When I first started, my first year was 71 sales. My next year was 113 sales. I've already done 82 sales this year. I'm only getting better. I'm only getting more knowledge. I'm only meeting more people. My pipeline is getting bigger. I never had a database to leverage on and say, look, I sold to them 10 years ago. Let's give them a buzz. You know, maybe it's their time to sell. I have got none of that. All the people that I'm meeting are new. So I think people saying, how's he going to keep it up? And it's going to be interesting. It's interesting to me. I look at people who have been in the industry so long and think, wow, they're so far behind. I think I'm progressive. I've got a good team. I'm growing my team every single day. I'm learning more about the industry. I meet more agents that are teaching me more things as well. My energy levels have always been high. I used to be avid on the gym prior to real estate. My energy levels for that, I did that for ages. And to me, it just, it excited me. Something that excites me is going to keep me energetic. One of the agents I met 2 days ago for my girlfriend's mum's unit, he said to me, sometimes agents, you know, when it gets tough, you sort of go into that dark place and you just get through, you think of things to move ahead and, you know, you go into a little dark spot. For me, we always have down times. Like sometimes I'll be in bed at night and think, wow, you know, I've only sold 4 houses this week. You know, for me, I needed to sell 6. It's not good enough. You get into that little dark spot. The next day you're on, you've listed 4, you've sold another 2 and you're back on track. So I think for me, long term, my numbers will only improve unless I stop enjoying real estate, which I don't see. Unless I don't like something, I think I just give it up. But for me, real estate's everything. I think I get to meet different people. I've got a good track record of having happy clients. I'm a very competitive person as well. I don't think there's been, like, have you watched the documentary, The Last Dance with Michael Jordan?
Not yet, but it's on my list.
Watch it. Unbelievable. Yep. Just true competitor at all costs. A lot of the stuff that he did resonated with myself that I do. I'm nowhere in his league, of course, but some of the competitive things, wakes up, has to be there at a certain time, has to do this, non-negotiables, hard on himself, the hardest person on himself. You know, I look at myself and think, you know, wasn't good enough. Whereas other people, external factors will be just like, you know, I've sold 5 houses this year and you've sold over 80 in 5 months. How can't you be happy? I'm never satisfied. And I think that's what keeps me going. So the goal for this year was to do one better than last year. So I did 113 last year. This year, I'm looking to do over 160, 170. I want to hit 3 mil or 3.5 mil GCI. I don't think many people have done it at 25 years of age in a 700K area in their 4th year in sales. So they're the driving motivators for me. I get lots of messages from people, like from my last podcast, lots of people listened and said, you know, wow, man, how do you do it? You're such an inspiration. I love inspiring people. I think people inspired me becoming an agent who are now my friends, which is awesome. But I think that if you can inspire one person with something you say, because people do get down if they don't list and sell every single month, if I can just help one person out of this, it's worth it.
Well, that's it. I think there's a few good takeaways there. Like tomorrow's always another day.
Another day.
Be optimistic because always. It just depends on whether it's a glass half full or a glass
half empty.
Half empty.
Yep.
And always have good energy. That's it.
Always. You lack energy, you're going to not impress people face to face.
And don't worry about the people that,
Yeah, they want to look at you and say, let's see if you can maintain it, or we're watching. Look, I focus on me. My numbers do the talking. At the end of the day, I'm not in the highest price point for a suburb, but I look at that and think to myself, I'm dealing with buyers that are first-home buyers that are scared, that are nervous, that haven't done this before. I'm a private treaty-based agent. We don't do many auctions. Like, I've had already 24 rescissions this month. So in terms of deals that I've done, I've signed well over 100 contracts already this year. I don't think anyone's done that in the country, as in a solo agent with one assistant. So I think that, it's going to be interesting to see what other people do, but I know what I can do. And this year is going to be a big record-breaking year, and I'm looking forward to sharing that success with everybody that wants to come on the ride.
Well, we're definitely on the ride. We know what it is.
You know what it is. Beautiful.
So what are your predictions for the next few months?
I feel that mortgages on hold at the moment, causing people to go into a bit of a lull. You know, there's a bit of security, 6 months. As we know, time flies. So I feel that around that spring period, a lot of people are going to come onto the market. I feel that mortgages, potentially, if people haven't got their jobs back and they've mortgaged themselves up a lot in the last few years, may be forced to sell their properties. Mm-hmm. The banks may take them. They may panic, which will, again, cause more oversupply on the market. So for agents, we're going to get more stock. I believe that's the case. As we sort of ease, as we were just chatting before, you know, 1st of June, the pubs, you can go in 50 people, etc. It's easing slightly. I feel the market will sort of clog up around that springtime, which means for buyers, it's a great time to buy. There will be more stock on. I think that's where the agents, again, like right now, advise your clients if they've got a well-presented home, there's not much on, strike now. We'll get through that spring period. There's always a little bit of a boost around the end of the year, around that September, October, November. People want to get in before Christmas. It's the whole new year thing. It slows down around December, picks up around Jan, Feb next year. So I think I'm dealing it month by month. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the stock. I feel that now's a great time to sell for clients. In the future, that average days on market might blow out a little bit. Like in the good market, my average days was 11. Now it's probably around that 22, 23 day mark, whereas it might blow out a little bit more. But complete transparency with owners, telling them what's going on, my advice in the market. And everyone's got a different market. You know, you've got some markets that have slowed dramatically. You've got some that are doing great guns. My market's probably doing average things, but we're still leveraging those results. So it's a market by market scenario. However, if you can look at the numbers, which I think comparing data is a big thing too, comparing to last year, comparing to 2018, forecasting what's happened in the last few years through GFCs, through election campaigns, through the banks, through overseas, you know, lending criteria is being tightened, through COVID-19. There's always going to be a similar pattern, but day by day, advise clients well with their best interests at heart and move forward from there, I think is great advice.
Yeah, you're like Rain Man with the numbers there. And I mean, that's amazing. What you just said there is like actually going the extra mile. It's not just this month versus last month or this month versus last year. It's like, let's have a look at compared to this. Because I heard some interesting statistics the other day, actually, is that something like a third of Americans are looking at moving once they get out of lockdown.
Wow. Well, there you go.
So,
goodness me.
I know, like, you know, that's going to be
– that's a scary stat.
Well, yeah, that is a scary stat. But, you know, like I think now, since we've all been in our houses, we all probably, if we get stuck there again, we want better balconies. Oh, we want work from home.
Absolutely.
Things. We want, you know, there's certain things that we want.
I put a sold sticker up last night with a lady, lovely woman. Her name was Patricia. And she goes to me, the only reason I'm selling is because of COVID. She goes, I was supposed to go on 2 cruises. I had an overseas holiday booked. I came home. I was thinking of moving to the Gold Coast for the last 3 years. I've monitored your results for 3 years. And she sent me a text and goes, Josh, wasn't looking at selling this soon. Now's a great time. I'm home. I'm stuck in the house. She goes, sell it. I said, great. Went around 3 days. Price guide was 800, sold it for 820K. Lovely young couple with a baby on the way, stoked to move into the area. So in terms of that, I think she goes, last night when I put the sticker up, she goes, thank COVID for the sale. And I said, thank you for the sale. Congratulations. So it's crazy what this has done, but let's see what the future has to hold.
Yeah, that's it. Just adapt with the times.
Absolutely.
So what's your goal for 2021?
My goal is I want to do 200 sales in 2021. I don't think many people do it every single year. To do that, I think I'm going to expand my team a little bit. Now, that doesn't mean me taking time off. That means me just delegating the non-productive or dollar-productive activities to them that I still take on a little bit and just purely listing, selling, negotiating with my vendors. A lot of people look at my numbers as well and think there's no way he does it. You know, there's no way he can manage, you know, 30 stock, 20 on market, 10 off market. No way he's selling 20 himself. any one of my vendors or buyers will tell you, I'm dealing with them direct. I'm showing them the house. I'm dealing with the buyer. I'm negotiating. I'm dealing with the vendor. I'm signing the contract. I'm there at the final. I'm there at settlement. I'm the one who's there. And I've got a team that supports me, of course, with admin supplied by the office. I've got my own assistant, Alex, that's side by side, but I'm there every single time. Complete dedication. I never pass the football to anyone else. So my goal, 200 sales for next year. This year, I'll do over 160. That's a goal. 4 million GCI next year would be great. Growing my team, building my brand stronger. I'm starting to get now a little bit of, oh, Josh, you know, you sold my mum's house. I'm starting to get the referrals, which is nice. Compared to walking in and not knowing them from a bar of soap. So I feel that my business will grow based on that. It'll reach that tipping point where it's just like, instead of Josh just being the new kid on the block, it's Josh has been here for 5 years now. Josh has been selling for 5 years. Josh has got a great name in the area. Josh has got a good brand. Josh works hard. Josh has got over 520 positive reviews on Rate My Agent with not one negative review. He must be the go-to agent. And like in my core suburb at the moment, there's a new feature on realestate.com. There's a little drop down that says find agents. You put Quakers Hill in. I've got 112 just in Quakers Hill in the last calendar year, 12 months. The next best has got 19. So I'm selling five times what anyone else is in the suburb. There's got to be a reason for it. So yeah, I think that next year 200 would be awesome. Grow my team a little bit. Still enjoy what I'm doing, having fun, which I don't see that stopping at all. When holidays reopen, take a holiday, take my girlfriend away. We usually do one holiday a year, so that'll be cool. ARIC, I spoke on the online ARIC with John McGrath, Tom Panos. I'd love to be on ARIC for 2021 on stage. I love that buzz. I spoke in New Zealand last year at a conference as the main speaker. I'd love to do that at ARIC. That's a goal of mine again. Yeah, just continuing to inspire people, do good numbers, enjoy life, have fun, and sell lots of properties.
Yeah, amazing. Well, Josh, you know we're fans.
Thank you so much.
I'm a fan.
And I'm a fan too.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with everyone today. If there was one thing that you'd like people to remember, what would it be?
Don't get down during a pandemic. This is the time to, there's a new door opens, another one closes, etc. That analogy is great. You know, and one door closes with a vendor that has decided not to sell, another one will open. Be consistent. Don't stop prospecting all because the money's not coming in. Take a bit of a shortfall budget and look at what you need compared to what you can spend. That's what I did. I looked at what I could spend more to get more traction. Look long-term. Love what you do. Advise people that the best way to sell their home and have a good marketing campaign, have good energy, ask for the business. There's a few little nuggets in there, but if someone gets one, that's awesome.
Absolutely. I was going to say that's about 50 things.
That's about 50, but hopefully one resonates with people.
Yeah, they'll have to download the action guide for that one. Yeah. Josh Teslin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, lead agent. You know what it is.
That's so good.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.